When I think about what God's doing, I think it's important for me to remember that what he's doing is not something special, that what we're experiencing is something normal. And it's really God's intention for every believer to go experientially from glory to glory. And each one of those things we can refer to as breakthrough. But as the Lord spoke to us on Sunday, that we're not having an encounter so we can break through into some place. We're breaking through into a place called encounter. We just live in this perpetual harvest after harvest after harvest of glory to glory to glory to glory, where you can almost not trace the breakthroughs anymore. It's just from glory to glory to glory. And it's so connected to our surrendering. I posted something the other day. It's not we're trying to earn anything, but we're just being revisited with the everything that's ours in Christ and being encouraged to surrender to his everything, not trying to earn anything. And Exodus 33 is a really popular Old Testament scripture that people like to preach from, and it's at that place where the people of God had grieved his heart, and he told Moses, he said, look, here's the thing. Moses, whom he talked to face, and he said to Moses, he said, Moses, look, go on up into the promised land. Angels will lead you, but I'm not going to go. And Moses says, well, if you're not going, we're not going, because it's your presence that makes us unique. If your presence is not with us, then we're just like all the other peoples in the world. He said, the promised land is not what we're after. You are the great promise, the great gift. I think sometimes as charismatics we get confused. We want all the signs and wonders thinking that's like the promised land, but he's the promised land. And then all that stuff comes with him. I mean, the fruit and the spirit and the gifts of the spirit are all part of his being. It's just part of the deal. And then when the Lord told them, he said, well, then I'll go with you. Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. Wow. You could spend the rest of your life pondering that. That God was going to do one thing, and then he did something else because Moses asked him to. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. And then Moses says this thing. He says, I pray you, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, his glory. For no man can see me and live. And then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. And so what we love to preach about, and it's a great truth, is that God said, you can't see my glory, but I'll show you my goodness, and his goodness is his great glory. His goodness is certainly part of his glory, for sure. It's one of the characteristics of God. Is it the core of his characteristic? That's a good word. But what we forget is if we look forward, the Lord said to him, if you see my face, you'll die because of his fallenness. So what did Jesus do? The person who could not live in the glory of God, who couldn't see God face to face, was crucified on the cross. And we've been cleansed, fully cleansed. You have a clean heart. You have a law of sin that lives in your member, but your heart is perfectly cleansed. It's important that you understand that, or you'll live in a sin consciousness all the time. So that we're now in Christ, recreated to behold his face. He said, if you see my face, you'll die. And so Jesus killed us so that we can see his face, so that we can behold his glory. It says this, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us, and your translation may say by, but this actually should be who called us to his own glory and virtue. We're called in Christ to participate in his glory. That was God's original intent when he created mankind. And look how far God was willing to go and the price he was willing to pay for his dream to have a people who contain, who enjoy, who participate, who live in the realm of and manifest his glory to see that dream fulfilled. As a matter of fact, look at the contradiction of 2 Corinthians 3, which we looked at a few weeks ago, but look at the contradiction from that in Exodus 33. Says that you can't see my face. You can't see my glory. Because Moses asked for that. He said you can't. But listen to what it says again in verse 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, we don't have a veiled face anymore, and beholding his glory. We all with unveiled face behold as mirrors the glory of the Lord. And it's written in the present tense. We continually live in the realm where we are invited to behold his glory. His revealed presence in all the attributes and character of his person. And we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. What? We're being transformed from glory to glory? We're not just experiencing glory to glory. We're being transformed. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. When Christ is your life is revealed, when Christ as your life is revealed, you're revealed with him in glory. Are being transformed to the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. In verse 4 of chapter 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 6, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Light shall shine out of darkness. What does that mean? That's a description of our new birth. That where there was just darkness, now light shines out of darkness. And where light shines, there's no darkness. Light dispels darkness. We shouldn't be controlled by darkness, by fears and anxieties and depression and self-rejection and jealousies and offenses and all that stuff. Light shines out of darkness. And our weakness and strength is made perfect because we've been joined to Christ. We have, he says, we behold glory, and the glory is in the face of Jesus. He told Moses, you can't see my face. You can't see my glory. You'll die. Well, the person who couldn't died, and now we're in Christ. And we get to behold his glory in the face of Jesus who lives in us. So what is revival? It's an atmosphere of the glory of God. When the atmosphere of the glory of God shows up, it does all kinds of stuff. Changes people, bends their hearts, bring them to their knees, causes their joy to come forth in unspeakable ways. What's that like in person's life is the same thing. It's just normal Christianity. It's just the dream restored. And that's what God's doing. He's pumped the atmosphere with glory to give us a vision of how big this thing is, what he offers, and would we like to break through and experience more of that in a larger way. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. He worked for it. He earned it. And we get to live in it. And you know, it's real simple. It's not really hard. You know, I discover that something happens and then I feel a certain way or think a certain thing or say a certain thing. It carries no glory with it. It's not the mind of Christ. You just pivot. Go, oh my gosh. God's not mad. He knows we're being transformed. He's not sin conscious. We shouldn't be. In that moment, he's saying, hey, Chuck, remember who you are? Remember what you have, the mind of Christ? Is that the way Jesus thinks? Then that's not how you think. Just surrender to that. And with the mind of Christ comes glory, from glory to glory. So whatever it all is that God's doing, I can't give names to it. I can't title it. I don't know what to say to it. I don't even like the word revival. We've used the word renormalizing. I think that's better. God's doing a work of renormal. But I do believe that as we apprehend that for which we've been apprehended, We're just at the beginning. Just at the beginning. Treasure what God's doing. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you that you've invited us, because we're hidden in Christ, to gaze on your face and your glory, to live in that realm. We're no longer having to be protected from your glory, Lord. We're protected in your glory. That's our safe place. Lord, cause us to be starstruck with what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.